Russell. Good afternoon, brethren, and I hope everyone is having a great festival Sabbath so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico, and pray you are too. Our weather here in Puerto Rico this week has been a little bit of clear, some rain, and then definitely some wind as well. We had showers come in most of Wednesday evening around to Thursday evening, but other than that, it's just another clear, beautiful, blue sky, windy day. So we're always grateful for that, that God provides us with that opportunity on the Sabbath to have such a beautiful day. Well, brethren, as all of us know, yesterday was yet another one of the man-made holidays throughout the year, where everyone seems to be in a joyous mood, happy with one another, and gifts keep on exchanging in the form of chocolates, roses, and teddy bears. I'm talking about Valentine's Day, where every February the 14th, we see nothing but people dressed up in red and pink throughout workplaces and lunches to commemorate a supposedly day of just expressing love to one another, whether it would be family members to one another, friends to one another, and even co-workers to one another. I remember in every single job I had, there will be some sort of activity going on where the office will be decorated, stickers were handed out, and even the doors will be decorated with complete sheets of red and pink colors. In an effort to motivate employees to be happy and demonstrate qualities of happiness to one another, all in the name of love. And I put love in quotation marks because I will address this later in the sermon. Mankind is always looking for an excuse, it seems like, to celebrate just about anything during certain times of the year. And this month is no exception. It seems that after Christmas decorations are taken down, every single place, from companies to supermarkets and shopping centers, all turn to Valentine's Day decorations immediately, as if automatically the mood needs to change for only a short time of the year, and in fact, it's only for about a month and a half. And then we move out of our way and forget everything. I remember the day after Valentine's Day, all of the decorations will be taken down, and people would just go back to being bitter, as if a switch in their minds automatically takes them away from the supposed happiness they would have the day before. However, we need to realize that everything that man creates for himself, without it being in the Holy Scriptures, is not of God. And we don't know that, brethren, because of the holidays are just made up during different parts of the year. For example, it's no surprise that probably today and the rest of the weekend we see everything taken down from Valentine's Day and stores will gear up and decorate for Easter. This is a sad but true reality we, as God called and elect, face every time. Now, brethren, you might be asking yourself why I'm talking about Valentine's Day as part of the introduction to the sermon today. Well, I'm going to speak today regarding the topic of love, but in essence, how important it is for us as Christians to not only turn to special occasions during the year, love, but to demonstrate God's one another and our brethren daily. In fact, this is part of the title for today's sermon, Love Always. Love Always. Let's look at the word love and its definition first. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word love has over 10 definitions, but I only want to look at 3 for today. 1. A feeling of strong attachment induced by that which delights or commands admiration, preeminent kindness or devotion to another, affection, tenderness, as the love of brothers and sisters. 2. Affection, kind feeling, friendship, strong liking or desire, fondness, goodwill, opposite to hate, option with, of, and an object. And 3, due gratitude and reverence to God. Also, the word love has 4 definitions from the Strong's Concordance. 1, Strong's 26, from the Greek word agape, which is spelled A-G-A-E-E, meaning love, benevolence, goodwill, esteem. Strong's 158, from the Hebrew word ahab, which is spelled A-H-A-B, meaning love. And Strong's 157, from the Hebrew word ahab, or ahev, which is spelled A-H-A-B, or A-H-E-V, meaning to have affection. Brethren, with these definitions in mind, we need to understand and realize that God wants us to be able to love at all times, not just any particular day of the year or set of days during the year, but every single day. It is important for us to exemplify these qualities because it is through God's own love to us that we are able to exert these qualities among ourselves and demonstrate to other people that we are truly set apart from the rest of the world. Because love is a quality God demonstrated towards us through the fulfillment of the Scripture, we must realize and take into consideration all aspects that God commands us to do daily. Love is something that should not be left to only certain days, special occasions such as anniversaries and commemorations, but rather we need to have the concept of love instilled in our minds for every moment that happens in our lives. Today, we will look at the concept of love through the writing of 1 John. Now, we will be looking at other scriptures throughout the sermon today, but I want you to keep your finger or bookmark 1 John because we will be going back and forth. Let's begin today by turning to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1, and we'll read verses 4 through 9. 1 John, chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. It says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brethren, the foundation for how we should love as Christians each and every day has everything to do with how God demonstrates his love for us every single day of the year. Also, we see that everything written in these verses relates to how positive the attitude should be of each and every one of us. We must all adhere, take part, and develop the same concept of love that God shows us each day, and to know that since we do have God's truth in us through our calling, that we need to be honest with ourselves, especially when it comes to understanding that first, we must admit we are not perfect. We are born into this world with our physical bodies representing sin and the imperfection that is our human nature. But God knows that already, brethren. He understands that to the point where it is written in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. These verses also represent how God shows his love for us, and that is through the forgiveness of our sins, brethren, because God is a righteous and merciful God. He knows our daily struggles. He knows our individual needs. He comprehends every situation, and we must take all of that into consideration, especially when it comes to demonstrating love to one another, just as God is faithful and just to us. Let's continue over in the book of 1 John. This time, let's look at chapter 2 and pick up a few verses here. 1 John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. 1 John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. It says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that says he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, these are truly remarkable words spoken unto us here today. We see that God demonstrates his love for mankind with the representation of Jesus Christ and our advocate for our sins. And not just ours alone, but all of mankind. However, the expectations of us, brethren, are truly set upon us through our behavior and our daily actions. God loves us. He always will. But we must adhere to his commandments and demonstrate our love to him by following the example set before us in verses 3 and 5. In verse 3, as we just read, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And in verse 5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that are in him." The concept of love from God to us and from us to God stems from the instruction booklet we have at our disposal every single day, the Holy Scriptures. But it is not sufficient to just know the Word of God. But we must follow, obey, and keep his word in our hearts and minds through every single aspect that happens in our lives today. Now, brethren, the world today makes things incredibly difficult, especially as it pertains to our Christian living. We know that we must wake up each day and know that we will face adversities, struggles, trials, and tribulations. However, we cannot be in doubt of when it comes to God's promise to us, because his love and demonstration of how he loves us daily should give us the motivation, courage, determination, and willpower to keep his word in us, no matter the circumstance. Let's continue here in 1 John chapter 2, and now read verses 9 through 10. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. It says, "He that says he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." Brethren, we cannot expect to love God and his ways if there is any part of darkness surrounding our very hearts and minds. There can be no demonstration of the true love God has showed us through his mercy and dedication towards us if we do not love our own brethren, whether they are called into the truth or not. God loves everyone, and he expects us to follow in his example, because we cannot be filled with anger, hate, and negative feelings towards other people, even because of the actions they might follow. Also, we are expected to be in the light, because there can be no middle ground or compromise when it comes to the ways of God. We either love or hate him, but there can be no gray areas, because then we will be hypocrites. And we really do not want to be in that category. We must understand that we demonstrate our own love towards God by keeping his commandments, laws, statutes, and appointed chiefs, because everything is written in our own instruction booklet we have today. There is no compromise, especially when it comes to the things relating to God, because God is a just God. He provides the instructions to the very things that relate to our own salvation and well-being. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 1. Now we will be going back to 1 John later on. But let's look now at Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 1. It's a short verse with a very powerful meaning that goes along with what we just read a few moments ago. It says, let brotherly love continue. Let's turn now to the book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 14. Here, we will read about Jesus Christ teaching his disciples about brotherly love and what we should do. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9 through verse 14. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. You are my friend, if you do whatsoever I command you. Brethren, these words, as spoken by Jesus Christ, demonstrate a key component in understanding God's love and how we should act in order to demonstrate our love to Him. God is not asking us, like mankind and His way, to celebrate love, to buy certain gifts like chocolate, postcards, balloons, or stuffed teddy bears, or to dress up in red, pink shirts. Not at all. On the contrary, Jesus Christ gave specific, clear, and simple instructions to his disciples, and really to all of us, about how we need to go about to demonstrate God's love to us. We need to obey God's commands, and his love will abide in us. There's not any other way to explain it. In addition, Jesus Christ also mentions the fact that we need to love one another, just like Jesus Christ loved every single person, even giving us the example that a person that lays down their life for his friends is a demonstration of a great aspect of love. We need to be mindful of what we are doing on a daily basis. We need to be aware of how we treat people. We need to be active in maintaining and keeping a joyous spirit to one another because of the expectations that before us from God's Word, especially the words we just read by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother, let's turn back to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2, familiar set of verses to all of us. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The best way we can demonstrate love towards God is to not love the physical nature of this world. God hates sin, but loves the sinner. This means that everything in the world that does not have to do with God's ways is something we need to eliminate from our lives. We as God, called out Christians, must maintain and remain focused on the ultimate goal of reaching salvation. We cannot let the things of the world get in the way of our salvation, because everything in this world will go and pass away, as we just read. However, like the last part of verse 17 says, "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Brethren, this is what we need to strive for, and this is the basis for understanding God's love for mankind. God knew mankind would have human nature and strive for the things of the world. But he gave us a solution. He gave us specific instructions. And we demonstrate our own love to God by adhering to what God says. It is crystal clear in Scripture. There can be no better demonstration of love from our part unless it involves following God's instruction book, the Bible itself. Because there is nothing man can do to show us love more than what God can do. Man can buy or make anything he wants, but only God can truly give us his love through his word and by ensuring that we are saved through the blood and sacrifice of his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. This is the ultimate demonstration that God has for us. God has given us an immense opportunity to be called from this world, to be a set apart people. Let's not waste it. Let's look at the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verses 11 through 12. Here, we will read about Solomon's advice on how we should consider the concept of love. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 11 through 12. It says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin." And keeping here in the book of Proverbs, but this time, chapter 15, verses 15 through 17. Proverbs chapter 15, reading now verses 15 through 17. It says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has continual peace. better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. The words as spoken by Solomon demonstrate the great wisdom God gave him to write these words. Even during his time, Solomon knew and understood the concept of love and how it is better to do and to have less, but as long as it is done with love. It is greater than anything done bigger, but filled with hatred. Solomon knew that the fear of the Lord is an understanding we must all have to exemplify our love to God, because love begins in our heart. Everything associated with our very heart is what we exemplify on a daily basis. If we have a corrupt, hateful, sinful heart of nature, there can be no possible way to demonstrate our own love to God. It's just not possible. Our hearts must be pure, with good intentions, to be able to develop the same love that is expected from us to do, especially as it pertains to God's love, all the time. Let's turn back to the book of 1 John, this time, chapter 3. And we're going to pick up a few verses there. 1 John, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 through verse 3. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." Dropping down to verse 7, a very familiar verse to all of us. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." And finally, dropping down to verses 11 through 20, here in 1 John 3, it says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good, and sees his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and knows all things. Brethren, these verses indicate several components relating to how God demonstrates his love for us. First, we notice that God bestows his love towards us by referring to us as his children. Also, if we maintain and keep our hope in him, we will be able to be with him when he returns with his son, Jesus Christ. To add to the fact, there are clear instructions that we can read to how our behavior must be in order to please God. The first part of verse 7 clearly states, "Little children, let no man deceive you." This verse is extremely important in our daily routine and application to our lives, because we cannot fall prey to the world, brethren. We cannot let the things of the world deceive us, convince us, or let us drift away from the instruction and ways of God. There can be no better demonstration for our love to God than obeying and following his instructions. Only. Moreover, God knows and understands the world we live in, because he is aware of everything happening around us and throughout all the nations. That's why verse 13 is important in understanding what happens to us when it says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." This verse is clear and specific in that we should not be alarmed, surprised, or even worried about what the world thinks about us. This is what makes our calling so special to us, brethren, in that God demonstrates his love to us by getting us out of the mentality of the majority of the billions of people that live on this earth. Furthermore, verse 18 gives us another instruction that has to do with our actions. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." This verse goes along with a very popular phrase I'm sure we have all heard in our lives: action speaks louder than words. We cannot simply demonstrate our love towards God and our fellow brethren by just saying nice things, reading, showing concern, or even just thinking about what to do. The Bible is very clear. We must do in action and not just speak. God wants us to show through our actions to others how we are doing in our day-to-day activities. We must adhere to positive actions, deeds, and believing that what we are doing for others is the right thing in God's view. We have to ask ourselves, is what I'm doing for my fellow brethren good in the eyes of God? There can be no doubt in our minds that our actions are what determine our view from God to us in our lives. Let us always strive to do good in the sight of God, through our daily lives, our attitude towards our brethren, and that our actions reflect the same love in our hearts, as God has shown to us throughout our entire life. Let's conclude today in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love